Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you're listening, welcome to the Rum and Stoke podcast. This week's episode, we're joined by iconic British free skier Ro Emery. And as a little note, I'm actually in Aspen at the moment, judging the World Championships. And just because of time zones, etc., I've left this episode in the very capable hands of Nate and Milo. And I'm sure because the boys are pretty envious of the time I've spent away this season, there's going to be a lot of stick, a lot of cheap shots thrown my way just because I'm not there to answer them. So I'm hoping you'll enjoy this episode. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm pretty excited to hear it. But let's dive straight in with this episode with Ro Emery. Oh, and as always, the rums were flowing, so the language might get a little bit less PG. Let's put it that way. Enjoy the episode.
For once, we can have a fun podcast about Gaz. It is going to be hype.
Gaz is out being lame, judging. What a nerd.
All right, good evening, everyone. We have an extra special episode for you tonight. As Gaz is away on holiday, we are completely avoiding all snowboarding and judging talk, and we've brought on a special guest to chat all things grassroots and the British ski scene. Let me welcome to you the Sultan of Stoke, the Don of Dry Slope, Ro Emery.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for inviting me into the podcast to chat about some lovely grassy root skiing in the homeland that we've been trapped in for God knows how long. Yeah, it's been a funny one. It's been a funny old winter.
It's been weird, man. It's been weird.
Oh, yeah, dude. Actually, yeah, let's start there. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Shindigger from Manchester, from Shindigger Session. Ooh. Very nice.
Nice.
And I've got some rum lined up as well.
Oh, mate, of course. give us a brand name. Give us a brand name. Let's hook in them sponsors. What we got?
Yeah. Oh, it was Captain Morgan's. Yeah.
Ooh, a classic.
Ooh.
Classic.
Yeah, you know, we'll take them. We'll take them, maybe, if they give us a good pitch.
Yeah.
All right, so Ro, for the people out there that aren't familiar with, the household name that you are, give us a little lowdown, a little biog.
So I'm Ro Emery, was a bit of a no one, used to be a massive ski nerd as a kid, living in Stoke, not the best place for a ski nerd to be living, but yeah, I got into skiing at my local dry slope, which was Stoke, and then in 2015 got picked up by Line Skis, which was dream come true because I'd always kind of admired Line Travelling Circus and stuff. And then, yeah, I got into a bit of filming, put some videos out on New Schoolers, which got a bit of attention. And then just being a social media skier based in the UK ever since then. But yeah, people always joke saying, can you actually ski on snow? And I'm like, I can, just no one ever sees it most of the time because I'm always just dry slope nerding it out, lapping little blue tubes here, there and everywhere around the UK. Rail skiing is my forte, but jumps, everyone knows I suck, absolutely suck at jumps. I've got like, I don't know, maybe a tops of like 6 decent-ish tricks. That might even be a push. but yeah, it's a funny story actually. I was at IF3 Festival I'd done a film with Perspective Studios with Callum Welch, Ross Welch, and two guys from Holland, and we were up on the stage at IF3 London, and one of my mates was like, I'm going to ask you like what your 3 best big air tricks are, and I was like, don't you dare. And I was up on stage and I was like, I'm not speaking on the mic, and I got handed the mic. And first question I got was from my mate, like, what are your 3 best big air tricks? And I was like, oh, I hate you. And it was like a 180 high safety, misty 540, and like a blunt 5 or something. And it was, oh, yeah. But that's the truth. That's my jump game in a bag. But yeah, basically, I am just a dry slope nerd that loves rails and tubes. That's me.
Nice, man. Well, at least Milo and I can vouch for seeing you on snow. You know, you came on holiday with us last year, so that was sound.
I have seen Ro skiing on actual snow. It has happened. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
So have you been your final lot that you managed to get any shredding in?
It's been a bit of a weird one. Not really loads. Like I've done like kind of in between lockdowns, I've been going to Chill Factory. There's kind of quite a cool little scene down there, and it's only like 15 minutes away from my house. So there's a good little scene at Chill at the minute. You know, like I'm keen to, you know, when stuff opens back up, to kind of keep that going and trying to get as many homies as possible down skiing at Chill. And then Stoke is also, they've got a new slope that's been built. So I went down to test that. And it's looking really good. Like it's just next level compared to what the old jump was. So I've been down there to test that and then tried to hit some urban in Stoke when it snowed. The last time I actually skied on real snow.
I saw some clips of that urban, man. Do you want to tell us how it went?
Oh, it was terrible. So the speed was terrible. We literally dragged some pallet across from this car park. I had to like leave my car with the keys in, with the lights pointing up at this slope, because by the time we built the get on, it was way too dark, and we were filming with GoPros. You could just barely see, and it was the flattest, stickiest rail with like mud either side. And yeah, that didn't really work. But then I also, in about November, went to, with Andy Cullen and Monty Wright, went to meet them up in Leeds. The last time I actually skied on real snow was up in Leeds in a skate park in the middle of lockdown, like everywhere's super quiet. And then we kind of rocked up to the skate park in Leeds. We had this like little slither of snow into this bowl, and we had a winch, and like I'd never used a winch before. And Monty was like, make sure you don't get your fingers stuck in it. And I was like, oh my God, like I'd never used a winch before. And I could just see that. I could just envision like getting my arms dragged into this winch and getting mangled. But anyway, so we were hitting this, yeah, this little track into this concrete bowl. I had the first hit, gunned it in like, and then just aired. Was meant to hit the tranny and then just landed flat on the concrete in the middle of the, like no snow anywhere, just like on the concrete, like bang! And then just like skirted across. But yeah, I managed to get like a 2 semi-okay shots. But yeah, that was the last skiing I did on snow, and then everything else has been a bit biddy. Did some kind of, actually skied in the Peak District when it snowed, like which is like probably just over half an hour drive away, and went for a little ski and like walked, skied down this little track in the Peak District, had to walk through a river in my ski boots. Like it was so wet, and then I climbed up this huge hill, like it was so steep, got all the way to the top thinking that it was going to be the sickest run down, like the coolest like UK ski run I've ever done, and it was absolutely terrible. It was just a right to reverse all the way across through all this grass, like because it was like all ferns underneath, so you couldn't actually like turn, otherwise you just get caught in these ferns. So it was a bit of a weird one. But yeah, that's literally, in a nutshell, skiing this season. There's just been lots of weird UK adventures and the odd dry slope and dome sesh in between lockdowns. But yeah, that's been skiing in lockdown. And then everything's just been enjoying the little things like skateboarding and just going out and cruising, going around Manny and stuff. So yeah, it's been good. But looking forward to more skiing soon.
Yeah, man, it'd be unreal to get back out there as soon as we can, eh? As soon as we can. Hopefully we can get that summer shred on again.
Yeah, I'm so gassed for that. I've got enough froth to make lattes for all in the UK for, like, going skiing this summer. It's insane. I'm going to be just so full of beans. Not too many beans, though, just enough beans. Milo knows about too many beans, don't you?
Milo's the king of too many beans.
You could say that. Some could say that. Too many beans in the Gucci plateau.
Honestly, man, that was the funniest thing to watch from the knuckle when you did that in teens. I literally thought you were going to be like so broken. You were so fine. Jokes. Anyway, sorry, I'm monologuing, talking, not letting you guys talk. You guys need to do some talking.
No one wants to hear what I've got to say.
Weirdly, that like, you're the guest on this, you know? I mean, Gaz is away, so we sort of just bring our pals on, you know?
Yeah, sick.
Dad's not here, so we can have some fun. Cool, man. But yeah, we obviously going to have a lot of focus this week on the UK skiing side of things. you know, mainly with like a grassroots sort of focus. And before this podcast, we all made a few lists ranking some GB skiers in different categories, top five of each. We can't use the same skier more than once. And yeah, we reckon this might spark some debate and get us chatting about some pretty rad skiers that this little island's got to offer. What do you say? Which category do you want to start with?
Oh, we're going to have to start with rail, right?
All right. Let's start with rail.
Yeah, let's kick it off with rails.
We got the rail guy, and you know, right? Who wants to bosh out their top five first?
Okay, shall I go first?
Go on, man. Ladies first. Go on.
So I've got number one. Or should we go from five to one, or should we go one to five?
Yeah, go from five. Go from five.
Okay, so I've got Tyler Nichols Stubbington. Then I've got Mike Rowlands in fourth, Mason Furby in third, Chris McCormick in second, and Tyler Harding in first.
Ooh, all right, man. All right. That's a pretty solid list. I can't really argue many of those. I mean, I share some of those names. We've got a pretty similar list there, I'm not going to lie to you. But
yeah, I got a couple there too.
I got some different orders though. I've got should I whack mine out?
Go for it.
All right. So I just want to reiterate, because obviously we can't have the same name for more than one. It's made it a lot harder. So I've gone here. Right. So I'm doing a shout out to a guy that I know from elsewhere. And I know you're familiar as well. Niall Cox.
My boy Niall.
Number five.
Ooh.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
He's handy on the pipes.
Yeah, he's a G.
Then I'm going Felix Klein, Tyler Nichols Stubbington, Chris McCormick, and Tyler Harding.
Okay, so we've got the top two the same.
Top two, spot on, yeah. I put Tyler a little higher up, you know. I reckon he's got a lot in his locker. But yeah, I want to throw a shout out to Niall in there as well, man. He's another sort of like UK insta skier.
Yeah, Niall's my boy.
I know you use the pals as well, so you know.
Oh, you're making me feel bad now that I didn't include him in the list anyway. Sorry, Niall, love you.
All right, Milo, what are you saying?
Oh, this is a fun one, because I got in reverse order again. We got Tyler Nichols Stubbington. I wanted to shout out Harry Shaw. One of my favourites from the dry slope scene. Always had a good time riding with him.
Yes, big ups, Harry.
Harris Booth, and then Chris McCormick and Tyler Harding.
Nice. And we all had the exact same top two, and
yeah.
Can't really point a fault at any of the others either, man. We had some good shouts in there, some names in there, wasn't it? You know.
So how are we going to decide the final top five? Are we going to?
I don't know. Maybe we just do it. Maybe we just do it like we final top three it. You know, ones okay. We all agree on. So I feel like we've got two, sir, you know.
I think top three. I think top three, if we can do that.
I mean, so we've got Tyler and Chris as one and two.
Yeah.
All right. Who are we putting in that third spot?
Oh, God, I'm gonna have to vouch for Mason. Like, some of the stuff that he does. Like, at MK, I think it was last season, when he did that, like...
Yeah.
Front flip four, Misty four on,
yes,
back
mate.
Two out was absolutely insane. Like, was probably one of the most berserk rail tricks I've seen. One in general, and two in an indoor slope. Just and the kid can spin on rails, and he's got some. Like, he's been a top contender for rails since he was a little nipper ripper. So yeah, I'm gonna vouch for. I'm going to say that's going to be my shout for definitely for number three, but I don't know what you guys are saying.
You know what, man? I can't really dispute anything of what you said. When we're doing these top three, though, right? Can the final three have similar names in? Because I'm not going to lie, I don't want to have any spoilers, but I might bring Mason back around in another category.
I'd be lying if I didn't say he was going to show up elsewhere too. And I think there's a reason. But I also can't really argue with the third place spot.
Yeah. You know what, man? I'm happy to roll with it. And if someone crosses over into three, I mean, that's just the game. You know, we all get, I feel like if they get more than two votes, or like they can receive more votes from each of us, but not more than one from one mm-hmm. person. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, that's sound.
Right. So yeah, I'll back him in there for the third spot. That's a strong, strong list. All right. Miley, do you want to make a call on which category you want to move on to? We've got, what we've got left, we've got creativity, style, and jump game.
I'd like to talk about some stees, man.
Yeah, let's get on the stees.
Yeah, all right. All right, you want to lead on this one then?
All right, I can kick things off. I've got the boy Niall getting a lot of love from the homies. Mike Rowlands, Monty Wright, Justin Taylor Tipton, and in first place for me, it's got to be Mark Donnelly, Killer Muffin. Mm-hmm. No one does it quite like him.
You know what, man? There's some strong ass shouts in there. Killer Muffin throws it down like no other, dude. Like, he is honestly got some of the best that I've ever seen on a rail.
Yeah, man. Like that Henrik Harlow, Phil Casabon style. Like, no one does it like them except Mark, you know? And Mark's from Glasgow.
Yeah, shout out to Bella, babe. What you reckon? Do you reckon there's any names on there having a question mark about Roe?
Oh, I like... I've thrown someone in there that I've not actually seen ski for a long time, but is an OG in the style game in the UK. So I'm going to go from 5-1. So I've got Grant Donald from up in Scotland. I've not, like I said, I've not seen him ski in a good while, but he is up there in terms of UK style. I've got Dean Harris in fourth. I've got Rob Wilkinson in third, Mark Donnelly in second, and Monty Wright in first.
Nice, man. Yeah, there's some more strong names there, man. I think it's going to be weird if we don't have Mark in these categories.
Yeah, that Mark was the one that was thrown at the biggest, like, definitely between two certain categories where I was like, I just don't know where to put him because he's...
Well, were you tempted for rail?
More creativity, but...
Oh, okay.
But I had to pick one and I went with style, so Mark's in style.
Fair play, man. All right, so I've gone in the fifth spot. I've got a bit of a niche one. Don't know if you've seen him ski, but a dude from a UK fella, but he spends his time at El Tawai now, Mike Farger. He's a park shaper out in El Tawai. Unreal style. Absolutely love watching him ski whenever I see him shred. Like, fast backslides, just unreal steez.
What's his Instagram handle? I want to check this guy out because I've not heard of him.
Mike Farger. He's not that big on the Insta, so that might disappoint you. He's mostly got just pics, to be honest with you.
Account is private. Oh no. Oh, now that's even more interesting. I'm gonna have to...
It's a bit, as I'm saying, it's a bit niche, but he's always rocking like the steeziest threads.
I'm gonna have to check him out.
The style is one you want to see. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I was hoping I'd be able to check in and see it, but I can't.
All right, and then from here up, these are all names that you've already said. In fourth place, I've got Dino. Mm-hmm. In third, Monty Wright. Second, Killer Muffin. And number one, Milo, who were saying?
It's good. It's Justin Taylor Tipton, right, Nate?
It's the boy. It's the king. He's just got... I mean, I know the others have style, but like Justin brings so much style to it. Everything he does on a pair of skis, like, it's not just like after bang off a rail, it's laid out everything.
To be honest, I'm gonna say, put it out there, I'd say Justin is probably the one where he could be in any category. And I just don't know, like, I've seen Justin, obviously grown up skiing with Justin, and the stuff that I've seen that kid do, like, with no like barely any thought, he just, like, he said to me, I'm gonna do this, and I'm like, really? And he just does it. And I'm like, right, there was no tries, just I am going to do this. I've done it. Like, that is Justin. He is insane. Like, it was a pleasure growing up skiing with that kid because he has some style, some creativity, some rail madness, some jump madness. Like, I've never seen anyone do a cork 7 mute grab to stomp like that kid can on like the gnarliest dry slope jumps everywhere around the UK. Like, the kid's insane.
Yeah, man, those few years where he was sort of like doing that little circuit of the dry slope comps, that, you know, before he sort of in the GB teams, like around sort of like the age of like 16 to like 17, like he was just going around the scene, just killing it all.
Honestly, the first memory I have of Justin, right? Such a funny memory. So basically, he used to ski at Swad, and a few of the Stoke guys would go to some Swad comps and stuff, and it was not long after I'd first learned to drive and I got my car. And I went, the first thing I did when I got my car was drive to this, it was some kind of, the name had some kind of rails, bangs and something or other. I can't remember the name. It was like Plastic Pow or something like that, or some kind of, anyway, doesn't matter what it was called. But I rocked up to this event. And I'd always seen Justin, and he used to just be this armadillo of like protection. He'd just have like the biggest back protector on, helmets, arm pads, knee pads. He'd just be like this little armadillo ski little ninja kid. And I remember I went to this comp at Swad, and the whole time he was like, don't beat me, just this really squeaky little kid that's kind of like, he almost beat me, bearing in mind I was what, 19 at the time, and Justin was probably, I don't know, in his 13 or 14, and he was killing it. But he was just I just remember him, the first memory of him as this like little armadillo ski kid that was just always really full of energy and just so hyped on everything. Like, I mean, he's not changed now, he's still a major hype man, but yeah, that kid's, oh, I love that dude.
A big bundle up, of big energy up. And fucking good vibes is Justin, man.
Yeah, Justin for president, man. That kid needs, oh, I love him.
Dude's an absolute champ.
Shout out to Justin.
Fuck Boris, vote Justin.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, right. So what are we saying for top three, then?
JTT, Killer Muffin, and Monty Wright.
Which order are you putting that in? You go 1-3 or 3-1?
1-3 was that. That was how I put that.
All right. I'm very happy with that order.
I thought you might be.
Because I think that's actually the order I went in.
Say the order again. What are we going with?
So JTT, then Killer Muffin, Mark Donnelly for, you know, just to remind people who don't just stalk him on Insta, and Monty Wright.
Yeah, cool.
I wanna take a moment to fucking shout out Monty Wright's super unknown finalist position. Yeah. His edit that got him there.
Dude, the edit that got him there was fucking fire, man.
Yeah, so sick. And that in the super unknown, in the filming session in the finals, that hand plant disaster 4 was insane. Like,
did he get injured in the finals?
I can't actually remember.
I think he did.
I think he got injured quite early on. Like, I remember seeing, like, because they obviously film it like day by day, and I remember like the first day of filming, like he had some pretty lit tricks, and then
plant on the mushroom.
Yeah, it was the mushroom, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's.
And then after that, like, yeah, I think he got injured, man.
Yeah, I think we didn't see as much as we could have from him, and that's a real shame.
Yeah, I was so hyped for him, but yeah,
it is a shame, man. That was a fucking big year for the Super Unknown too. They had some big names in there.
Roy, when are you going to be a Super Unknown finalist? That's the real question.
Oh, I don't know if they take dry slope tube edits. I don't know if that's criteria. I mean, I feel like if I put it on New Schoolers, there'd definitely be loads of haters. Oh my God, man, have you ever skied on a real mountain? Oh my God, like, can you even hit a jump? Like, I remember, like, when I put Black Ice out I put Black Ice out back in, like, when did I put that out? But it like got some traction at New School, and there was most people gave it credit, and there was like the odd person that was kind of just absolutely slating me. Some guy was like, oh my god, can this guy even do a 360? And I was like, well yeah, clearly, like, I've done a 360 on the rail, but like, I got
doing a free swap in the middle of a rail, and they're like, nah, you can't do that on a jump.
Yeah, but I mean don't get me wrong, I'm not the biggest jump sender, but at least I mean I did a 5 off a roof in that edit, and some guy actually replied for me and was like, well, he's done a 5 off a roof, so I'm sure he can do a 3 off a kicker. but yeah, no, I did get a few little bits of hate for people just New Schoolers. I was like traumatized by New Schoolers as a kid. Like, I used to put edits up there, and as a kid, obviously, I'm going to say that I absolutely sucked at the time that I was putting any videos on New Schoolers early days. But still, I mean, damage a man's self-esteem. Put stuff out there and people just absolutely tear to shreds. Like, it's like a 14-year-old kid and just getting torn to shreds by Americans just hating on UK skiing. Yeah.
All right, man. Next category.
We're getting closer and closer to this creativity category, which I'm still...
Yeah. To be fair, though, I mean...
Okay, let's do jump.
Best jump game, fattest jump. Shall I bash mine out first?
Go on, then.
Right, so in fifth spot, I've got Jasper Klein. In fourth, Tom Greenway. Third, Harry Wright. Second, Gus Kenworthy. Controversial that.
Whoa! No, Adam, pull up. No.
I know you're all laughing. Wait for it. I knew this one would cause a stir, man.
I respect the audacity. Let's just say that.
I wouldn't classify him as a UK skier.
Does he ski for GB, Milo? Ro, sorry.
He does, and I have nothing against that, but I wouldn't classify him as a UK skier. He's grown up skiing in the US. Anyway, each to their own. If you think they're a UK skier, they're a UK skier.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I just knew that one would cause a bit of controversy, because we can talk about that switch up of nationalities in a minute, I reckon. But in the top spot, I've got Woodsy.
I mean, no-brainer.
All right, Ro, what were you saying?
So, I've gone Harris Booth in fifth. I've gone Kirsty Muir in fourth. Justin Taylor Tipsman in third. And I've gone Tom Greenway second, Woodsy first.
I just want to say, as a side note, we had agreed that, you know, we're going to focus on the male side. You've just thrown Kirsty as a curveball, not that she doesn't have an unreal jump game, but you're making us look bad, you know?
I mean, I think I had to... Like, part of me wants to put her at the top, I'm completely honest.
I'm with you, man. Big up as well to her. But I mean, from today, she was in her first World Cup finals today.
Yeah, she absolutely...
in the champs in Aspen.
The girl kills it. And, I mean, you know, in the girl game, there's only a handful of people. I mean, the group's getting bigger of girls that can do doubles and stuff now. But for someone of her age from the UK... as a female athlete to be laying out doubles as clean as she does, and she's got the best attitude, and personally I want to put her at the top, but yeah, I think she definitely deserves a solid third, and then yeah, Woodsy at the top, you know, X Games gold, you know, can't argue with that.
Yeah, man, I thought he was going to get a medal today as well, you know.
Yeah, he was killing it.
All right, Milo.
Shout out Jamie Ogilvie in the number 5 spot. The boy, gotta love Jamie. And then Harry Wright, Sam Wood, shout out the stunt ditch. The half pipe is just a series of jumps, right? So
yeah, no, man, you're bang on.
And then Tom Greenway and James Woodsy Woods. Say what you want about Woodsy, but man's been killing the scene for so long.
Yeah, man, he's been on it for years.
He took Vincent Gagne's Octograb and made it his own. Is it Vinnie Cash who invented the octane? I feel like I'm now.
I think that's where it started.
Yeah.
If we were throwing creativity worldwide, Ro, you did that list. Did you squeeze Vinnie Cash in there?
Is on the list. Actually, I did. Hang on, I made 6 for that list for creativity. He was like a
first bloke I saw doing the mid-air prats.
Yeah, this was a non-decided order. It was just throwing names out there, and then we realised that we were doing UK athletes, and also shout out to Tom Greenway. Putting down triples, you know, the progression of Tom Greenway has been insane, and I think he's going to places putting down that triple that he did more recently in was it SAS Fay, maybe? SAS Fay, he put down a triple and it was solid. I think it was SAS.
Yeah, that was that time where that jump was absolutely popping,
huge.
Oh yeah,
I've got my fifth place, Jasper Klein. I think he did a triple on that jump as well. Mm. So I thought that was deserving. I feel like someone that could throw a trip just gets their way right into this spot. But right, let's talk about the controversy. Gus.
He's riding for GB. I always find there's a few GB athletes that have grown up riding places like Salt Lake City. I mean, shout out Izzy Aitken got... was it third today?
Yeah, she got bronze today. And also someone on your list as well, Sam Ward.
Yeah, and Sam Ward.
You know?
But to change codes, to go from one to another, I don't know. I got a lot of love for Gus Kenworthy, but a GB skier, he's an American skier and has competed for the USA in the Olympics before.
I agree. I totally am with you on that one, Milo. I mean, he has every right to be on Team GB, but if he's been on a team before and decided to switch, that means, you know, he's either one or the other. He can't be both.
For the purposes of the Olympic Committee, he can be British, but for the purposes of such an institution such as Rum and Stoke, I think we need to show more integrity than that, to be honest, Nate.
Come on, mate.
Nah, screw y'all, man. He's on my list. Like, I completely get it. I was shocked when he announced that he was going to be moving allegiances, you know? And I mean, I've had a lot of mixed opinions because one part of me was like, all right, GB's going to get a pretty sick skier on their roster. That's kind of cool. But at the same time, like, he's taken, like, for me, what I thought was a big part was he's going to be taking a lot of funding away from someone who's been training their whole life, growing up on dry slopes and smashing all that training, aiming for a GB spot, and he's got it instead.
Yeah, someone's going to have to wait another 4 years just to wait for Gus to retire, you know?
Yeah, man. So like that grated me a bit. Like I think it was just a bit too easy for someone to switch a nationality there.
So why is he on the list, Nate?
Because Nate wanted to be controversial.
Because I wanted to wind you up.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, my God.
Right, so right, top three. I mean, we've all got, I think there's three names that we all have, and that's Woodsy, Harry, and Tom. I think Woodsy's a clear number one. We've all got him at number one. I'm thinking we've all got... Well, actually, you two both got Greeners a bit higher, so I reckon Greeners in two.
What about Kirsty Muir in third for being, like, up there, top of the worldwide game from the UK?
I mean, I think, like, huge shout-out, but now you're just making us feel bad because we thought we were going to be ranking the dudes.
Yeah, but, Nate, you also put Gus Kenworthy on your list, so I think...
Yeah, you know what?
I also think put Kirsty in third, man.
All right, fine. Top three settle: Woodsy, Gus, and Kirsty.
Boom! Yeah, that's the one. Results.
Christ, the best job game's got a fat asterisk next to that ranking.
All right. No, let's not move on to creativity. I just don't know where to start. All the other categories have stolen the people that I thought I would have in there.
All right, but how about this then? Before we move on to the creativity rankings, why don't we talk about something that's like mad creative that I know Mario's a big fan of as well. Real Skifi.
Oh, Real Skifi.
Yeah. Well, you've got some links to them, don't you? You ever thought about dropping them some lines and being like, "Look, dude, get me in the mix. I can skate weird. I can ski weird shit." You know?
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
I've actually got a funny Real Skifi story. Actually, when they came to the UK, so this was at the time. So I work quite closely with Real Skifi because they're on the Planks Pro team and I'm the Planks team manager. So I speak to Yuho quite a lot. But back in, I feel like it was about 2014, maybe. I might have that date wrong. But they came to Stoke and I was, you know, just working as a ski instructor, assistant manager, toilet cleaner, maintenance man, God knows you name it, like at the ski center. So I was there and then I had no idea they were coming and I was like, what? I was just working away and then I was like, what are Real Skifi doing here? Like, that's mad. And they did some crazy stuff, kind of front flipping off the fence into the car park and whatever and rolling over like a big picnic bench with matting on top of it. Anyway, so I kind of saw everything they were doing and thought, I'll get my skis on. I was like, this is my home slope. This is like my home turf. Like, this is my game. I've got this. And so went up with Yuho and the Real Skifi crew, and they had like a side-on metal rail into a picnic bench with a huge stack of matting on top of it. So much matting on top of it that the bench had actually crushed and crumbled under the weight of the Dendex. And then there's a metal down rail at the other side of it. And so Yuho was sliding the rail and then trying to roll over the top of it and then do like a sideways Lincoln loop roll and then land on the rail and slide out. So he was trying it and I was like, right, I've got this. Went in way, way too hot for the first hit. Went like lip onto this metal rail. And that pile of matting on top of the picnic bench came so quickly, like lip on, and I was in it, and I just hit it and just literally got bucked up into the air the first time and was just upside down in a mangled mess above this metal rail and just fell out of the sky onto my back onto this metal rail and smashed into the Dendex. No one filmed it or anything. No one, because it was just out of the blue, it just happened. But the second time someone was filming and I did almost just as bad, but missed the rail, but the fall was so much further because I didn't land on the rail to catch my fall. I actually went up into the air and then flat onto the Dendex. So I just went hot into it, lip on, hit it, took my legs out, and I was upside down, like flailing all over the place and just like, bang, landed so hard, like upside down and mangled. It was, yeah, it was a funny experience, but that's one of my memories from when Real Skifi were in the UK, and I was trying to be as wild as Real Skifi and realise that my dry slope tube abilities weren't quite up to scratch. But no, that was fun. It was super cool to see those guys, you know, the way their minds work when they're kind of looking at tricks and calculating ideas and looking at things in such a different way to, you know, a normal skier would look at them. It's like, oh, how can we do this, that, and the other? It's super cool to see how they work. They actually released a new video today, which is quite cool, quite different from what they normally do. They were kind of doing some night skiing, night kind of touring, and then stopped off at some hut, and they were just sessioning this closed-out wooden fence outside this hut. And they do like a... Yuho does like a tips under against the closeout and then front flips out of it, so it looks like almost certain death. And then, but yeah, those boys are pretty mad.
Well, as in, like, I'm trying to envision this. So like he's coming at the closeout and kind of like does the 90 to go into the front flip, but on the side where the closeout is.
So his skis go like that into it, so he goes tips down and then goes front flip over his skis.
Yeah, thanks for the hand motions, Ro. I was trying to explain this for the people listening to the podcast, not on our video chat.
That is a great idea. I mean, you can tune in
If a picture paints 1,000 words, a video must paint 1,000,000. So I guess check out the Real Skifi edit that Fro is talking about for a full visual description of what he's on about.
Exactly.
Also, dude, I've been like operating under the assumption that it's been Real Skifi for like all my years. That's what I've always called it. This is blowing my mind to hear you guys say Skifi.
It's one of those things. It's people say different things, and even though I speak to the boys on a kind of regular basis, I still say Skifis. Some people say Skyfire.
What do they say?
I've never actually heard them say it.
You know, so, what, man? We need to get that as a little soundbite.
Yeah, maybe I'll hit them up.
All right, coming to the post edit right now is how the boys want you to pronounce Real Skifi Fee is coming in here.
Hi, my name is Juho Kilkki. For the Rum and Stoke listeners, this is how you say it. Real Skifi. Or if you want to go full Finnish mode, you can go Real Skifi. Thanks. Cheers.
What's up, listeners? Gaz here in the editing suite. Big thanks to Juho for jumping in and clearing that one up. That stops Nate and Milo arguing for 15 minutes because you know what they're like. Funnily enough, they then start a conversation about whether it was David Bowie or David Bowie. So we're going to cut that one and go straight back to the scheme. But just as a side note, the boys still don't know at this point how you pronounce it. So forgive their mispronunciations probably for the rest of this episode, but let's go straight back to the podcast.
But, Real Skifi, Real Skifi.
Real Skife.
Real Skif. Skif, eh?
Real Skif.
Skifi. Skif, Skifi.
Skif, Skif, Skif.
I mean, those guys are unbelievably, those guys are undoubtedly very creative, and our final category of UK skiers that Ro has been wanting to put off and I think has been a challenge for all of us is best creativity.
Yeah, man. It's coming in.
And I think as our special guest and the one who looks most upset about having to reveal this, Ro should go first.
Looks physically in pain right now.
Oh. Okay. I may have slightly broken the rules, but I'm just going to have to go with it because I'm just...
Again, this is why we need real guests on the pod.
Oh, why are you doing this to me? It's so difficult. Right, okay. So I've double parked with my names and I literally have to. I've gone number 5, Twig Spenceley. I've gone number 4, Callum Welch. For when he was in the game, did the first flat one, and he was just super kind of creative skier when I used to ski with him. I'm going to go number 3, shout out to Stoke Massive. I've gone Teddy Halkett. And then, okay, here we go into the double parks members of the creativity list. I've got Justin Taylor Tipton in second, Mark Donnelly in first. I had to do it. I'm sorry, boys. I broke the rules, but that's that.
You know what? Like, I can't pretend I'm not upset. But at the same time, I'm pretty stoked to see them again back in here.
Yeah, I think...
Like, just Justin and Mark are, like, two people that, like, I think could inspire so many people in the UK.
100%.
Like they're the boys we need to, like, keep this scene popping.
I think those two lads, to me, epitomize the hard work and dedication that UK skiing is.
Yeah, mate. Like, I've never seen anyone put as much graft into anything as I have, like, Justin put into skiing.
Maybe Mark put into skiing.
Maybe. I mean, I haven't spent that much time with Mark.
Mark is a man of perfection.
It snowed in Glasgow when it snowed pretty much everywhere in Scotland and the UK. Mark hit a quint kink, I believe it would be.
So fast. It was like, ding, 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 fence.
I know that nothing ever is done justice to by film across everything, right? From skiing to skating to whatever you're doing. Film doesn't do it justice. But I walked past that rail the other day, and my fucking God, it is burly. And he leapt onto it as well because he wanted to hit the stair side, because that is them's the rules of the streets. And Mark works hard and got a lot of love for that.
I've got so much love for Mark. He is one of the goats of UK skiing for sure. Like, he has been killing it for so long. And yeah, like, internationally, that kid is just this one of the steeziest mofos in the game, and he is the loveliest dude you will ever meet. Oh,
dude, that is so fucking nice, isn't he, man? Props to you, Mark. If you're listening to this, we are giving you a lot of love right now.
Killer muffin.
All right, Milo, what are you saying on the creativity hype?
All right, so number five spot goes to my boy Finbar Doig.
I fucking knew it.
Scottish rider from Inverness. I met him in teen last winter. Another kid with work ethic of a workhorse, man. And
unbelievable little backcountry shredder.
Yeah, I'm putting him in creativity because I believe that, you know, free riding and looking at the mountain in a way that you can free ride, you got to be creative. You got to paint your own picture. And Finbar shreds. And if you, yeah, another lovely guy from Scotland who rips on skis. So shout out Finbar. And then Twix Bensley, you know, New Schoolers editor, steezy motherfucker, good butter game. And healing up from a big knee injury. Twig, if you end up listening to this, hope you're healing up well, man. And we've got Dean Harris, man's out in Whistler. Those guys put out a rad park, and he's been doing some funky shit on those features. Mason Ferriby. I don't know if I'm butchering that surname pronunciation. Apologies.
Nah, man, I think that's spot on.
It's a few syllables. I got a question. And number one spot on this one goes to our guest this evening, Mr. Roe Emery.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Thank you.
I've skied with Roe for the past, three, four years?
Something like that.
Yeah, as he was talking about earlier, like, been a curator of the setups at Stoke for a long time, and we used to go there pretty much weekly with the uni, and we'd rock up, and Ro would always have some fucking stupid rail set up. And he'd be like, I'm trying this, 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 and probably this as well.
Yeah, man, I think Railzilla comes straight to my mind.
Front Swapzilla comes to my mind, but but yeah, Ro, shout out to all the things you've been doing, all the wacky tube dancing you get up to. Number one spot for me.
How many of those Railzilla events did you do?
I think I did about three. So I had
was that the year before lockdown?
I think it was two, maybe. It's definitely 2 years from now, anyway, or more. So I did. what were the ones that I did? I did Massive Monsters, I did Creative Creatures, Bendy Beasts. I did three. And honestly, mate, the rails were insane. Like, I just get so hyped up building them. I just have these mad ideas, and I had the playground and the capability to make my, like, the best thing about growing up and working at a dry slope was I literally lived and breathed skiing and was always thinking about skiing. And working at a dry slope, whether it would be like me doing a lesson or doing some maintenance on the slope or whatever, I'd always have like all the rails in my peripheral vision, and I'd just kind of be all day, I'd be like, oh, what can I build later? And then when I came to build something, I'd just come up with some wacky, crazy creation, like tie it down with like cable ties and just, yeah. Oh God, I used to love that place so much. Just, it was literally like my canvas. Just, I don't think I'd be half the skier I am today if it wasn't for having that you know, the capability of building such crazy, wonky, bendy, up and down tubes out of God knows all sorts of rails. So, yeah, blessed to have that place in my life and to be able to, you know, create some fun stuff for people to slide on. And it was mainly for myself, but it was nice that other people liked it too. So, so yeah, that was kind of good. But no, those rails of those were sick. I remember the first time I so shout out to my man Joe Ward, who I will remember this comment. So this was the first Railzilla that I did, and it was literally a rail from pretty much three quarters of the entire slope with just like a few little ups and downs, but just a massive straight one. So you'd be going Mach 10 and you just have to just rock it and get all the way to the end. And my boy Joe Ward was like, well, obviously if you're going to get to the end of it, you're going to have to do a two out because you're only going to get to the end of it once. And my man Joe Ward hoons into it, gets all the way to the end and just goes out to switch. And I just remember being like, well, there's a two out, bro. And he was just, oh, it's funny because he was being really cocky. He was like, well, you've got to do a two out if you get to the end. And then he just didn't do one. And then, yeah, I managed to get, I think, the whole night of sessioning nonstop on this massive long tube for 2 hours. I think I got a front two and a back two, but didn't get any of it on film. So, like, it was so, like, oh, my God, I built this huge rail. I need to go back. So I drove back first thing the next morning, was there, and, like, got a GoPro on my head. I think I put, like, a DSLR up on, like, top of the jump or something. And I was just like, right, I'm going to get it. And just was just lapping. And it was super windy. Was just trying to get it. And then I managed to get it all the way to the end again and get it on film. But that was a hefty long rail that. But it was good fun, and I'm pretty sure that was probably one of the longest rails the UK has ever seen anywhere.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm pretty sure you hold that record easily.
Yeah, potentially. But no, that was fun to do. And you know, when Sir Stokes got they've got a new freestyle slope, Bertha 3.0, the third epic jump that's been built at Stoke, and it's they've done a really good job of it, and I'm looking forward to getting down there and testing it at some point. But yeah, I'd love to try and get the scene going back at Stoke again and build some rails, get some kids hyped. And
Nice, man, I'm sure it's coming back strong.
Yeah, it should be good.
All right, do you want to hear my five?
Go on.
Not really,
I've forgotten about your five.
All right, in fifth, Callum Welch.
Gus Kenworthy.
Simon Dumont.
I've actually got a couple in here as well. So yeah, I got Callum in fifth. I mean, he came on a Jibworks trip a few years back, and seeing that kid ski, like, was, I don't know, like, he would find hits out of nowhere. And like, I've never seen someone like throw so many tricks on like a blue run or something. He's a nut skier. I've got Sam Ward.
Nice.
In fourth, yeah. Like, I've seen him throw some mad stuff. A favorite being some, like, I think it was like a weird, like a flat three with like his like hands behind his head, maybe. It looked awesome. Anyway, either way, I was like, yeah, go on, Sam. In third, I've got tonight's guest of honor, Milo. Nah, I'm kidding, Isro.
Thanks, that's nice.
Yeah, man, I've got yourself. In two, I've got a curveball. Paddy Graham.
Hmm.
You know? Maybe.
Yeah.
And then first, I've got Mason.
Nice.
You know, I mean, like, obviously, there was a lot of thought going in whether I should put him in the rail game, but then, like, creativity-wise, like, he throws so many tricks that, like, I reckon he's got his name. If you had, like, a list of tricks that only certain skiers could do from the UK, he's got his name on like 90% of the weird ones.
Yeah,
that like mm-hmm. other people can't, like won't even attempt. Like he's got a brain that thinks just different, man. And he pulls out weird shit from anywhere. I love watching that guy ski as well.
Yeah, man. He thinks outside the box nonstop.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You don't look happy, bro.
No, I'm not. I'm just looking at our list and who we're going to place where. That's all. But I think... Yeah.
What are you thinking to the Paddy Graham suggestion?
I can't say I'm an authority on this one.
I'm trying to, like, imagine the stuff I've seen him doing in the backcountry. I don't know.
But, like, pulling out the features in that he's done, I mean, like, obviously, he's played big parts in big films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the creativity's there, you know?
I say I'm not an authority on this, but he was in Legs of Steel, was it? The last flick I saw him in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it took a moment for my memory to jog.
Yeah, that was less than a year ago, I think. Maybe only a few months. Time moves different in the Never Zone.
Legs of Steel is a bit of an old one. Not old, but a few years old.
I've just had a flashback of Paddy Graham doing this like Red Bull tour, like promoting that Legs of Steel like a couple of years ago. Either way, man, I feel like the kid's got some. Well, he's like,
he's definitely going to be up there at the top of the power game for the UK.
Yeah, you know what? If Milo's putting in Finbar, I get my own backcountry skier.
Now I feel guilty for not putting a backcountry skier in my list. Yo, you can't be doing this today.
I'm going to need to jog my memory. Legs of Steel is the production company, right? And they did. They released 121, which was that vocal film, which was the first Legs of Steel piece I remember watching, and I think it was my first piece for New Schoolers. But yeah, he was that's where his name last sits for me. But that was pretty banging,
dude. I'm pretty sure it came out this year, that production.
Yeah,
you know?
I think there was one pretty recent
because he did that weird thing with. Like, you know, that like sort of like plasticine promotion video for it. I think it was with, who did he do it with? Was that with Ahmet Datali?
Yeah, probably. I think Ahmet was in Legs of Steel, the last one, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I feel like he's a dude that I don't want to forget about in this. I've forgotten who else is on my list. We've already talked about Roe. I guess there's not much else. What are we saying for the top three?
I'd put Mason, then Rowe, and then who? I don't know who we want in the wildcard number three spot.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I think Mason and Rowe are certs.
Maybe Twig.
They were consistent. You know what, Twig? You both had Twig, and I was a bit shocked at myself for not thinking of Twig when I was considering these lists. To be honest with you, there was a lot of names, and
I'd say Twig. Yeah, let's go Twig for third.
Happy with that.
And you talked at the start of this about tenuous links. He's very creative with writing for New Schoolers, editing. It's an outlet for creativity. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to sit with Nate, but he skis creatively as well, obviously.
You know what? But I'll take it, man. I'll take it. Who am I to shut that one down?
Twig is definitely one of those guys where, like, I've skied at Hemel and seen him do stuff, and like whatever he's doing is just so distant from any other kind of trick anyone else is doing. He's in his own tunnel vision Twig world. Like you get most people lapping features and they're doing kind of some of the tricks, and Twig is definitely the kind of guy who's just got his own vision and is just like Twig vision. And like, you know, he's down with his nose butters. Like, I've seen him do like ones off Hemel jumps straight into a nose press. Like, yeah, he deserves some credit for sure.
Yeah, man, he's definitely got one of the better butter games that I've seen in the UK scene, for sure.
100%.
And Milo knows that's something I rate highly. We do love a good butter game, don't we?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Could see more Daffy Butters from UK riders.
Just one.
If
just
they
don't want
get
one.
A tip stuck in dry slope and absolutely KO'd from it.
I mean, there are some Americans who we won't name names. Chris Newitt doing quad and quint Daffies, and I think the UK needs to up its game. I'm not even really seen double Daffies, so. Watch out, X Games Knucklehuck. The Brits are coming for you.
Just you wait till I get to Till Factory. I'm gonna be 20 times Daffy in that all the way down.
Vids or it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
I'm
cool,
calling
man.
Eyebrows on that and going to take yours at some point.
Q, 3 months down the line, we do a Rum and Stoke live stream of Shaving Row. I reckon we bring it back around to you. And I want to say quick fire questions. One sent in from the fans.
One sent in from the fans?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've got the fans, you know.
We got so many fans.
We've got the fans. You know, we've got an email address. Milo, plug it.
The Rum and Stoke podcast at gmail.com.
Oh, son.
Oh, I'm nervous for these quick fire questions. I don't know what's coming. I wasn't expecting this. I thought we were just talking about skiing. Now you're hitting me with questions.
Oh, no, dude, they're about skiing. Don't worry, man. I'm not like asking you, what's the capital of Peru?
No, we're not doing general knowledge.
Yeah, no, dude, they're all about skiing. Like, these questions are for you.
Well, that's good. That's good.
All right.
Would you rather have a duck's feet for hands or a duck's beak for your mouth?
Duck's feet for hands.
Yeah, easy, man. Why would you even? Why is that even a
then
four?
Then I can still smooch the ladies.
I don't know. It was quick fire. I didn't even think about it. God.
All right, Ro. Other than Stoke, where is your favourite place in the UK to ski?
Right now, it is Warmwell.
Okay.
It's a tidy slope, for one. I really like it down south. It just feels like I'm on holiday every time I go down there. It's just like, woo, dry slope holiday, which is great. Love it. So yeah, it's a super tidy slope in the middle of a holiday park. Even though I'm not a jump skier, it's got a sick jump. It's got a fun little quarter pipe, and it's just got some super just fun, like no crazy rails, but just fun lappy features. And the main thing, top of the list as to why it's my favorite at the minute, is because UK slopes, the scene depends on someone being there to kind of like prop it up almost. And Warmwell has such a cool little community vibe about it. You know, shout out to the guys at Warmwell. They'll run out onto the slope and be like, are you not going fast enough? Oh, I'll wax your skis for you. Or like, oh, I'll just wax it. Like, honestly, the vibe there, they'll film you. They're always willing to help. And you can just tell that they just love the sport and they are there to help. And that is the kind of thing that makes a scene in the UK amazing, is the people. And shout out to the guys at Warmwell who are doing things right and creating a good vibe. You know, there's a good mix of, you know, like young groms, uni kids, you know, that slopes. I've got a good vibes about that place. Obviously there's other slopes in the country that I love, but at the minute I'd say I just love driving down there. It's a fat drive, but I just love any excuse to get down there and go and shred that, you know, snowflakes. It's good fun.
Nice, man. I rate that.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the pros that they've got down there just moves a little different. But, yeah, man, you're right. It's a good slope. It's a good little community. And the guys that run it are sound as. So, yeah, bang on. I like that. Weirdest shit you've seen on the slope.
So the weirdest, probably wonkiest and wildest thing I've ever seen on dry slope is definitely back in 2013, Josh Fawcett on Stokes Jump. So those of you who haven't seen Stokes Jump, it's a big kind of raised up structure made out of scaffolding, which is probably the knuckles, probably about 3 or 4 meters up from the slope, from the flat Dendex slope either side. And he did the biggest hard left carving cork 7, going entirely the wrong way for the landing, boosting up, falling out of the sky and landing flat on the Dendex slope with so bolts, and probably one of the ballsiest, craziest, weirdest things I've ever seen. But big up to Josh, like how his knees took that impact and how he even got it through in his head to even attempt that to such a gnarly, burly Dendex landing to flat was bonkers. And yeah, shout out to Josh for that. Probably one of the weirdest, craziest things I've ever seen anyone ever try or do. on dry slope for sure. So shout out to Josh for that one. So weirdest thing I've seen on the slopes, part two. I think probably it'd be at Farmers Jam. I can't remember what year it was, but it was during the Big Air competition. And Josh Johnstone, some of you may know of Josh, was told to wear long sleeves during the competition, and he didn't want to. So he was getting followed around by the staff, being told to wear sleeves, and instead of actually putting on some sleeves, he decided to strip naked at the top of the in run for Big Air, and did the biggest Cossack in his boxers, and I think the staff of the event were pretty annoyed, but it put a smile on everyone's face, and it was a funny weird thing to happen in the middle of a Big Air comp for Josh Johnstone to strip down to his boxers and do a big Cossack and do the complete opposite of what he'd been told to do, which was to put more, cover up his skin more, and he actually took all of his clothes off apart from his boxers and did a big Cossack. So that was probably one of the weirdest things to see slope in the middle of a competition for sure. Shout out to Josh Johnstone and his boxers.
All right, I'm trying to think of a good way to ask this question. Of all the people you have skied with in the past, who has been the most fun to shred with?
I mean, it's got to be the Stoke crew. Oh, don't do that. Don't point at yourself. You're making me feel guilty. And I've not even answered the question yet. Who's the most fun to ski with?
Have you ever done much with some of the other line riders?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I've skied with lots of people, but I'm just trying to think of the number one most fun person I've skied with. It's got to be I can't say a certain person. I'm not going to say a specific person. I'm going to say a group of people. It's going to have to be the Stoke crew, like the OG Stoke Massive crew back in the day.
If you could go anywhere outside of the UK to ski for a week, where would it be and why?
Right now?
In a world without COVID, obviously. Not right now.
Right now, it would probably be... Ooh, it'd either be Park City or like Sunset Park, Granville area. Probably Sunset Park.
Because there's no jumps.
Because there's no jumps. I can't be embarrassed or like made a fool out of not being able to do a backflip. Definitely Sunset Park, because I can just lap rails and just like get up to speed with all the rail skiing I've missed out on over the last year. I can just rack up my miles, so I'm back up to full speed, just like lapping that lift. Yeah, I'd say Sunset Park just for the it's just one of the, I think it's just the fast laps, the cool like kind of skate park vibe, and just kind of feels like a dry slopey vibe with just like lapping around. So definitely Sunset Park. But I'd also
no tact on rum in Andorra either.
Oh yeah, lovely.
Shout out Sailor Jerry's.
But yeah, Sunset Park Granville area, or Henrik Harlow Park Granville area as it now is more formally known.
All right, so, Ro, once all this COVID bollocks has blown over, how do you reckon we can get the ski scene back pumping again?
So I think, it's probably pretty common knowledge to most people that all the slopes in the UK have probably, lacked a lot of business over the COVID times and whatever. So I think what the UK ski scene needs, and I've heard it from the grapevine that, slopes are struggling, short on money. And I think the one thing you've got two problems, right? You've got slopes that are lacking, they've not had the revenue, they've not had the customers because they've been closed. You've got people who've been trapped in the UK for God knows how long, absolutely frothing to ski. So I think, when lockdown starts to ease, I think people need to start supporting the local slopes and, you know, going down and making the most of skiing in the UK, to one, support the slopes, and also to scratch that itch of, you know, not being able to ski for most of this year, if you've been stuck in the UK or been unfortunate enough to be stuck in the UK. And then, yeah, just make the most of your home turf and get creative. You know, once you've got a vibe and a group of people and a community at a slope, you know, it keeps growing, and the more people that put stuff into it, the better it'll be. So yeah, just get down to your local slopes and show them some love. Yeah, get a shred
just
on.
Get shredding. Just get shredding, dude.
Just get shredding.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking awesome. Well, dude, it's been awesome to have you on this pod, and even better as a replacement for Gazeth.
You host anyone?
Who, you know, is just off enjoying some holiday somewhere, you know, snowboarding and judging.
Yeah, shout out to Gaz. So jealous of Gaz's life right now.
Yeah.
Lucky bugger.
I mean, realistically, we're all saying just wishing we were him right now.
Yeah, I know. Love you, Gaz.
Who'd have thought that judging would be cool in 2021?
You know what, man? Somehow, that's a crazy year. 2021 has made judging cool.
And on that bombshell,
I'm out.
Yup. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. I feel like after all the names you've had on the podcast, and then you've got a dry slope bloody nerd from Stoke kind of drop the standards down. I feel privileged.
Hey dude, you're an absolute beauty in our eyes. That's what matters, you know.
Yeah, I'm stoked that you guys have thought to bring me on, and it's been lovely chatting.
This is like a one-off special. We're doing a UK grassroots skiing focus special, and who better to bring in than you?
The dry slope king, the front swap wizard, the Dendex devil.
Get on a plaque for me and send it my way.
Gotcha. We're right. You know what's happening. That's going on a t-shirt. We have merch, by the way. Oh yeah, anyone listening to this, we do actually have merch. It's on a link in our Insta bio. Ooh. At Roman Stoke. So yeah, I mean, that might be a thing. You never know. You never know. Anyway.
Not only should you get out and support your local dry slope or dome, you should get out and support your local UK snow sports podcast and buy some merch.
So Nate can buy some more rum for the next podcast. That's what you should do. You should start anyone that's on the podcast, like you deliver them like a little podcast package and they get like a bottle of rum and like a little welcome to the podcast booklet.
Bro, stop angling it, man. We're not going to send you a bottle of rum.
No, I'm joking.
Right, let's leave this here. Good night, everyone. Thank you very much.
Peace out. Thanks for having me.
There we have it. Another episode of the Rum and Stoke podcast in the books. Big thanks to Ro Emery for jumping in with the boys and chatting UK skiing whilst I was gallivanting around the US. As the boys mentioned towards the end of the pod, if you do want any of the merch, then head over to our Instagram at Rum and Stoke. You'll find a link to the merch in the bio, of course. If you've got any of your own stories about the world of skiing or snowboarding, any funny stories, any funky questions you want to ask any of our future guests, then drop us an email, rumandstokepodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode. The boys didn't give me too much stick for not being there. I think they did a pretty good job in the end. But stay tuned for our next guest, and we will catch up with you as soon as we can, because we got a rum.